story of Mary and Martha is a classic story of the roles of women. This story is a source of annoyance to many women. I remember my mother hated this story because she was a Martha character, and she thought that she didn't like that Jesus was critical of Martha and thought, well, that's, you know, she's doing what women do and he ought to be positive toward her. Probably too strong to say that she hated it, but you know, I remember her talking about it. And I've heard other women talk about it, that Jesus needed to learn something from Martha. My hunch is that there will be women in the congregation or wherever this story is told who will identify with Martha. And that's just fine, because that's what the story is structured to do. But I think to pay attention to it, the part of the problem is in the translation. So the mnemonic structure of this story, this is a relatively simple story. It's short, three episodes. First episode is the setting, Martha. There was a woman named Martha welcoming him into her home, and her sister named Mary. So the contrast is between the two sentences of this episode, then, or the two periods, is Martha and Mary. And Martha welcomed him, Mary sat and listened. Second episode is about Martha. Martha was distracted. I don't like that translation. It means fretting. It means being worried. So distracted implies that she wasn't doing what she should be doing or was doing. And there's no implication of that in this word. It's rather that she was working hard and she was trying to get the dinner together. And she was putting together a good dinner. So that's what Martha is doing in this episode. And she came to Jesus and she's ticked. And she not only describes the problem, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? She even has the arrogance to tell him what to do as a guest in her house. Tell her to help me. So the Lord answered her, Martha, 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 take it easy. So first of all, Jesus responds to Martha. You're worried, and he describes things. Then Mary. So the last episode has the same structure. It's Martha and Mary. Martha, you're worried. Mary's chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. So that's the structure of the story. Setting, Martha's being ticked, and Jesus responds first to Martha and then Mary. Now, the sound of the story. I think this is a story that the storyteller has delight in telling. My hunch is that it also may be a story that was told by women. And so if there's a woman in the congregation who can tell this story, that would eliminate some of the unfortunate gender dynamics that sometimes get associated with Jesus putting down Martha. But it doesn't matter one way or the other. There's an anticipation of the conflict and a certain delight in that woman named Martha welcomed him, and she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. So you can anticipate what's coming. That's part of the delight of these settings for the conflict that is to follow. Then's the description of Martha's situation and her anger. I would not hold back from a full expression of anger in relation to Martha's words here. Don't you care? So tell her to help me. So she's really ticked, and communicate that. So don't make this pious or nice or whatever, or some kind of detached thing. Express her anger at her sister and at Jesus. So then Jesus' response, from this peak of anger is, Martha, 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 take it. Okay. You're worried and you're fretting about these many things. So then Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from. So it begins, moves up to the climax of her anger, and then comes down back to a place of peace and calm. Now, the translation. I really like J. Joe Fitzmyer's commentary on this story, and so in the Anchor Bible commentary. And so I'd recommend that to you. And part of what I'm going to advocate here is based on his commentary. He translates the word in Greek, which is translated here as distracted, as better being preoccupied with the details of serving rather than distracted by her many tasks. Preoccupied with the details of serving. And later, that she was fretting and disturbed about many things. But the many things here refers to the many dimensions of an elaborate meal. In effect, he's saying, Martha, Martha, you're fretting, you're worried about fixing a big meal. And this thing, there is need of only one thing. One thing means one dish. So, you know, we don't need to have a whole lot of dishes here. Only one dish is needed. The one thing initially means then one dish. And he's affirmative of Martha. But he's also supportive of Mary and her desire to listen. Now, Mary's choosing the good part. The word agathos here in Greek can be sometimes used for either superlative or comparative things. But the word in Greek here, meris, which is what is translated as the better part, is used in the Septuagint for a portion of food, as well as in a metaphorical sense. So what we have here is a meal metaphor. It could be translated, Mary has chosen the better portion of the food, which is clearly a metaphor for choosing to listen rather than to work on a big meal. And what Jesus is then saying is, Martha, 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 you're worried and fretting about fixing a big meal. There is only need for one dish. You don't need to have 10. Mary has chosen the better portion of the possible dishes, which will not be taken away from her. So this, the way in which Fitzmyer translates it, keeps the meal metaphor throughout the whole story and makes it less condescending to Martha, and is rather that he is supporting her and opening up another possibility. That's the most significant thing about this story. Jesus encourages both Mary and Martha to learn from him, to become his disciples. This stands in contrast to the attitude of other Jewish rabbis, of other teachers throughout the centuries, which was that they would only teach men. So until the 18th century, the only subjects of learning to read and receiving an education were primarily boys. Girls were largely excluded from education. It's a relatively recent development. Well, Jesus encouraged that. He encouraged Mary and Martha to listen to him, to learn from him, to be his students. Now, the final question is, what would being taken away from her mean? It's a kind of strange statement at the end here. One saying of Jesus earlier is, from those who have, to those who have, more will be given. From those who have not, even what they have will be taken away. That's in 8:18. At the end of the rich fool, in 12:19-21, this night your life is required of you, is taken away from you. And as for these things you've prepared, whose will they be? So a part of the metaphor here is at the end of life. What do you have? What do you possess? And what is taken away? So what you have is those things that you've done of value. And what you lose, what is taken away, is that which belongs either to someone else or that is simply, you know, taken away. So another one is in 12:33, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. So this is a reference to things that last and endure. rather than things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Mary has chosen then the better portion, something that will not be taken away from her, but that will endure, namely the learning about God, about the kingdom of God, that she will gain from listening. So this story is celebrative of a transformation in the role of women. And Jesus is responding to Martha in a way of inviting her not to criticize her sister for wanting to listen, but rather to join her and to step back on her expectations in relation to how much she has to provide him with a meal. She can fix him a simple meal and listen.